thank you so much for being here today. We hopefully have our air conditioning working better next week. Our sermon today is on hell. Be a good day to preach it right here. But no, that's not my direction today. We're excited about what God's going to do for us. Summer's just about over, hopefully soon. And then we're going to get into our fall. Please be much in prayer for the Christmas Child Operation, Christmas Child. We're going to go ahead and adopt that as a mission project for between now and December. A lot of lives are being touched by that little box. And, you know, we ask the Lord, what am I supposed to do? What I need to be doing? And sometimes it's right under our face. You know, we're thinking bigger things, but that, you know, she just shared with you a testimony of what one box did to a child. Look how many lives are being touched now because he's going around telling what God's done for him. So there's going to be a lot said about that. And I say that to say this, God's got a plan for us. God's got a plan for us. He's always had a plan. He continues to have a plan. And I believe that when he began to speak to my heart about connection 101, that was a part of the plan. God's going to teach us how to connect to one another because that's the mission field that we all face. Now, there's a lot of things going on in the world today. The big talk now is the solar eclipse is coming up this week. And it's amazing how many theories have been said about why that's happening and what's going on. And in other words, there's an awareness. And as I pray, the Lord tells me that the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. How many of you believe that? It's our job to begin to teach and share God's word so that the Holy Spirit will energize you and ignite you into doing what you can do. God's not asking us to do things we can't do. And as I've been studying, he's really carried me deep into his word, deeper than sometimes that I've ever been, but it's challenged me to study and learn things that I need to know as far as our direction for Northview is concerned. So I won't, we began to minister the last week on Connection 101, and I want that little phrase, that little word to begin to burn into your spirit about connection. I want it to begin to burn into your spirit. Lord, how am I to connect? How do I connect with myself? How do I connect? Jesus came to this world to build relationship. That's the only reason he came, was to build relationship. You say, well, no, he came so that he would die on a cross and we would go to heaven and be saved. Thank you, Brother George. We would be saved. That's why he did, but how did he do that? Through relationship. Every one of us are involved. That's another hour right there now. I'm going to tell y'all, that's another hour right there. Amen. But how do we connect? You know, I mean, he came and he began to build relationship, and that's everything the church stands for is relationship. When people ride by this road and see this building here, I pray it's a reminder to them that there's a God that I can connect to. I can call on him and he'll be there with me. So it's kind of integral, it's kind of, you know, detailed, and so I've got a lot of stuff to share with you. There's no way in the world to get it all to you today. But it's amazing. When I begin to really seek him and fast and pray and get into his word, he has shown me a whole different light of the word of God. After 44, 45 years, he's shown me a whole different light that everything in this Bible connects to one another. Every word connects. Every situation connects. The whole Bible is a work of connection. God's orchestrated plan. And so the foundation that we're going to build on is a story that we all know. And so I want to go to John chapter 4. And it's the story of the Samaritan woman. Now today I want to talk about names. We're going to talk about names. I don't know how far I'll get. But as you know, the Samaritan woman didn't have a name. So when I begin to read that, you know how you talk to God, Lord, she didn't even have a name. And then your physical mind wonders, well, how important was she? She didn't even have a name. We're going to talk about that. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, through Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. Now here's the paramount verse, the next verse, verse 4. Jesus is here saying, verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now when the Lord began to teach me this, and I began, you know, I'm like you, I just went right over that, went right on into the well situation where they were sitting at the well. The Lord said, you missed it. You missed the whole story. I said, how did I miss it? He said, you missed it because the well is not the main emphasis. That verse 4 is the criteria of why Jesus did anything here on earth. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. So I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to read the rest of it until we get to that point. But we're going to begin to dissect this story and find some hidden truths in there that God wants to teach us about our purpose in life and about how our reaction to this world situation is going to be. Now, the story is that Jesus is here and he's saying, I got to go through Samaria. And then I begin to talk to God. You know, I love a God. I love my God so much because you can talk to him just like you're talking to your neighbor. You know that? How many of you know that? You just talk to him because he's a good God. So I begin to talk to him. I said, Lord, she didn't have a name. Why didn't you even? He's called the Samaritan woman. And here's what he gave me. As if to say, the human part of it was as if to say, you know, how important really was she? Well, she was critical. She was critical. Didn't even have a name. She was critical because she brought revival to the nation, to that part of the country. All right? So everything we think is not that dynamic is critical to God. The little things, such as filling up a little box, cardboard box with some toys or whatever and giving to somebody, because we spend more of that on drinks during the week or whatever, can change a life. It's the little things. The phone calls. Listening this morning, who's not here, and just picking up the call. 3 minutes. Mr. Charles, I want you to know I love you. Thinking about you. You don't know what that can do to somebody's life, right? So the mission field is all around us. And 9 times out of 10, doesn't cost us anything. So Jesus is here. He said, I've got to go to Samaria. I've got to go minister to a lady who we don't even know her name. So I begin to analyze all that, put that all through my mind. God gave me a phrase, and I want to tell you this. I wish I had a way to make a poster and put it up here somewhere, because we need to remember this for the next several weeks. We need to remember this. Here's what the Lord gave me. Every person has a name. And every name has a story. That just shook me. People you see on the streets, no name, homeless person, no name person at food line, no name, we don't know these people, we don't know anybody. Every person has a name. And every name has a story. I want that to sink into your spirit right there. And so I said, Lord, teach me about names. And so I begin to go through the Word of God and just begin to pull out names. And as I begin to study about names in the Bible, God gave names, and names have prophetic implications. Your name has prophetic implications because you are a creation of God, and God has a prophetic word for you and a prophetic message for you. Every one of you has a name, and every one of you have a story. And all God's asking us to do is tell the story. Just tell the story. When you know the material, you're not near as nervous. Right? You know the material. The material is you. You know what God has done for you. So all you need is an opportunity. Because I want you to know this. We're getting into some serious times in America. There's going to be a solar eclipse. There's scripture in the Bible that talks about how God shows wonders in the skies and all these things. And there's just all types of things going on right now. And this is not a time, I want you to get this right here. This is not a time for the church to fear. No, we have not received the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind, right? We know that everything is going into the world and everybody's shaking around, don't know what in the world is going on. Let me tell you what. God knows what's going on, and there's a shaking going on in the land. And guess why there's a shaking going on in the land? Because we are coming into a time period where people will listen. Right? Have you ever gone through a hard time in your life, a shaking time in your life, and when you got done with that, you were a lot more humble than normal, right? So people don't have answers, and they're going crazy, and they're, you know, Trump this and Trump that and all this stuff going on. That's not my focus. Keep your eyes on the sky, for the coming of the Lord is near. But until He comes, we're not going to stand around with our hands fingered, you know, just wringing our hands. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? We know what to do. Jesus said, redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Isn't that what He said? So how are we going to redeem it? We're going to be valuable to God during this last time. And to add to that, we're going to be available to God. Because every name has a story. And I'm going to share some stuff with you. I got some Bible scholars in here, so it probably won't be nothing new to you. But maybe it'll just energize you to know that God has a plan for every human being. Alright? God gave prophetic implications. God gave names. I'm going to break it down a couple categories. I'll see how far I can go. But the first one that came to me is that God gave people names before they were even born. Names are critical. Why? Because every name has a story. Jesus came to whosoever will. Whosoever will is names, is people. And they need a Savior. If there ever was a time that people need to know about Jesus, it's now. He's a way maker. He's a problem solver. He's the I am. He's the beginning to the end. He's the one who can bring you through the valley of the shadow of death. That's who He is. So, there are five names that God gave to people in the Bible. First one was Cyrus. He was in Isaiah 44:20. I'm going to go through these scriptures real fast. So if you need the verses, I'll give them to you later. But there were five people in the Bible that had a name before they were even born. One was Cyrus, Isaiah 44:28. You remember he was the king of Persia 150 years before he was born. God gave him a name. Josiah, 1 Kings 13:2, 290 years before he was born, God gave him a name. Do not we serve an awesome God? You know, He didn't just show up yesterday. God, before there was anything, was God. Amen? The third one was John. We recognize John, Luke 1:13, he was a forerunner of Jesus 9 months before he was born. They knew his name. Jesus, of course, Luke 1:31, 9 months before he was born, knew his name. Jeremiah 1:5, how many knows that scripture? Jeremiah See, while you were in your mother's womb, before I knew you. You know that scripture? That's a beautiful scripture. But it talks about God knew him before he was even in his mother's womb. That's the kind of God that we serve. He has a predestined plan for us. The next one. The use of biblical names that a lot of people don't use. It's kind of funny. And the Lord carried me this way, and it was kind of, you know, God can be humorous at times. He said, there are some names in the Bible that nobody wants to use. Meaning that he will go after the ones that nobody else wants. One of them was Ichabod. Isaiah, 1 Samuel chapter 4 and 21, it means no glory. Nobody wants to name their child, here's my son Ichabod, no glory. Nobody wants to name that. Judas. Come on, Judas. Nobody names their child. That's in Acts 1:25. You know why? Because that name means something. All names mean something. Randy means something to God and Tina. Amen. Randy means something. You know why? Every one of you, Lisa. What an awesome name. God's got a prophetic order. How many of you know we're blessed every Sunday because of a girl named Lisa? Amen. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. So you see, Bathsheba. When was the last time you went to Belts and saw Bathsheba for a gift? 2 Samuel 11 means adultery. Jezebel, that's the name. Revelation 2 and 20 means seducer. And then when was the last time you heard somebody named Delilah? These are names, though they're not important to us, they're important to God. Now there are some consistent names. Names like Abigail, Sarah, Martha, Mary. All these different names, men's names like Mark, Luke, Matthew, Timothy. These are common names that are used quite frequently, but every one of those names have prophetic meaning. Now, I'm trying to lay a foundation this morning, and I'll end it with this one. How many of you love to read the genealogies in the Bible? How many of you have ever asked, God, why have you got these? So-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so. Why is it significant? Well, in Matthew and Luke's gospel, there are two genealogies for Jesus. Luke, one state starts with Adam and goes to Jesus, and then the other goes from Jesus to Abraham. But all these genealogies in the Bible, one came from the lineage of a servant, one came from the lineage of a king. Names are important. Genealogies, let's talk about that just a second. Why did God use genealogies in the Bible? Because prophetic messages are hidden in genealogy. Now when he showed me this, and I'm going to leave on a bang today because this is going to blow your mind right here. In the English Bible, there are 10 generations of men. 10 generations of men. How many of you know I'm a confident preacher when I say I'm going to leave it on a bang talking about genealogies? Amen. Confidence in God. There are 10 generations of men from Adam to Noah. Adam, Genesis 5 and 3 means man. Seth, Genesis 5 and 6 means appointed. Enos, who was a son of Seth, Genesis 5:19 means mortal. Canaan, Genesis 5:12 means sorrow. Now here was one that evidently he didn't come from Wayne County. M-A-H-A-L-O-L-E-L. How do you say that, Lisa? Maholo or something. Yeah, I don't know. Anyhow, he's in the Bible. Chapter 5, verse 15 means bless God. His name means bless God. Jared, Genesis 5:15, it means shall come down. I'm giving you what the Bible says. These are generations of men. Methuselah, 5:25, means death. Enoch means, 5:21, means teaching. Lamech, Genesis 5:28, means despairing. And then the last one was Noah. Genesis 5:22 means rest. Now I begin to put all these meanings together. Every name has a story. And every genealogy in the Bible is hidden prophecy to us that God created men with a purpose. I saw something. Let me read to you what I saw. When I wrote all these names down and what they mean, I begin to read what they mean. Here's what they mean. From Adam to Noah, man was appointed to mortal, or to death, sorrow blessed. God came down through his teaching. His death brings despairingly rest. Is that awesome or what? That's God. Let me read to you again. Man was appointed to death, mortal. That's the story. See, genealogy is the story of Jesus and his work and all his redemptive work. Man was appointed to death, mortal, sorrow, blessed, because God shall come down and teach him. Through his death, he's going to bring the despairing rest. Is that awesome or what? I'm telling you what. When I read this, I had to go to praying and say, Lord, teach me not to look over people. Teach me not to go by the names that I don't know. Because every name has a story. God concealed his ministry in the first 10 names in the Bible. Is that awesome or what? Now I'm going to close right here because I got a lot more to tell you. I don't want to put too much on you this morning, but what I'm trying to lay is a foundation. A foundation about names. A foundation about people. And the people that you see every day, the ones you know and the ones you don't know. Will you remember this? That God's got a plan for them. God's got a plan for them. And guess what? You may be a part of that plan. God's got something in store for this church. For the rest of this year, I think God's going to have some exciting things for us to do. And we're going to be doing some exciting things. Summer's about over. Now it's time to begin to focus back on what our mission is. We got a mission already before us. Little children that are waiting to receive your box. You see, I just believe it. I believe like this. I believe you can pray over your box. And when that child reaches that box and touches that box, I believe that your prayer can bless that child. I believe that. I believe prayer changes things. You see, I don't know who's over there. I don't know who's going to get these. They're no name people to me. But to God, they're a genealogy. And to God, they're a person. And to God, they have a name. And to God, every name has a story. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, we're excited about where you're carrying us. There's much more to say about names. And we're going to talk about it, Lord, as you give us the strength to do it. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name that you'll bless this ministry, bless this church, bless this people, bless our efforts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week, we're going to pick up on where God changes names. Thank y'all for coming.